Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. All right. Welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. I am really excited to have Dia here with us. And I think of Dia as a mythical creature. I'm going to let you introduce yourself because I don't even know where to begin. The first time I met you, I want to say it was like 10 plus years ago, and you were living at Kendra and Jesse's, friends with Katie Hackett. It was Band House, and like I barely knew you even then. And then the next time I saw you, you had like feathers in your hair, and you traveled the world, and So introduce yourself to everybody.
Wow, what an intro. Thanks, Christina. my name's Dia Michelle, new last name Rivers, and ooh. I am a mythical creature, apparently.
You are.
Because of the feathers, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I love that. Thank you for thinking that of me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of you as this beautiful rainbow unicorn who you just... You have a very energetic presence about you, and something that I've always admired is you have this beautiful smile and great attitude. I just love that about you.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, of course I came into your orbit because you're a unicorn wrangler.
That's right. I like to wrangle the yoga teachers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So here we are. I'm all wrangled. I'm here to have a heart-to-heart with you, which I always love. I always love talking to you. You're so down to earth and you have these like little wise one-liners all the time, I feel like.
That's so sweet of you to say. I'm really curious about your yoga journey. Can you just dive right on in?
Yeah, totally. So like started out from the beginning then, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I first discovered yoga when I was a personal trainer and a swim instructor at the downtown YMCA in Boise.
Get out of here.
I totally was, both at the same time. I was like living there, right? Uh-huh. And there was a yoga class downstairs on Sunday mornings, and I just started going. I went one time. And I thought it was pretty weird. And then I went again, and then I thought it was pretty weird, but I just kept going.
Tell me what you thought was weird about it.
Well, you know, it was like nothing I had ever experienced, like lights down low and the guy. I learned he's still a teacher there. He was just like so mellow, and it kind of was like shocking coming from the outside world. Mark.
Is he blonde?
I think it's kind of like maybe a dirty blondish towards brown.
Is
situation.
He like an older guy?
Uh-huh.
I wonder if he was my first yoga teacher, because the first time I went to yoga was downtown Y. Mm-hmm. It was a guy.
Yeah.
I want to say like blonde. And I was really like, I wore socks. I was new. I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, yeah. I probably did too.
I wonder if that was him. Okay.
I wonder too. I don't know. And I just started going, and I wasn't even going with anyone else, I don't think. Like maybe every once in a while I would take someone with me, but something kept bringing me back because I felt really good after, you know, mm-hmm. and it became this ritual. It was like something that I was craving. Mm-hmm. I think because, I was raised super Christian and it
Same.
Never really resonated with me, but I felt really spiritual, and I felt like, you know, that part of me was like, not filled somehow because mm-hmm. the church wasn't doing it for me. Mm-hmm. But in yoga, I found some of that I think I didn't understand at that time. And I think, you know, it was a Sunday morning. It was kind of like filling that ritual thing for me. Mm. And I was getting something out of it. I didn't know what at the time, but I just kept going.
Yes, I love the ritual that is yoga. I think my first class at the Y, lights were low. And then he did a singing bowl at the end. Mm. And I was like, what is that sensation? What's that feeling? I love that.
So good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing like a good old Shavasana when you've never felt one before.
Yes.
It's like, wait, what? I could just get this when I want.
Yes.
So yeah, that's how it all started. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember at what point along my journey I started experiencing a lot of back pain. At some point along the way that happened. And now I know that it's a congenital condition my dad has too, called spondylolisthesis. The PTs call it spondy.
Spondy.
Yeah. I'm in the okay. spondy club, okay. which is basically like when your two vertebrae, like in my lower back, two of my vertebrae don't have very much liquid in between. So like sometimes they'll grind together and it's very painful. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what it was at the time, but I experienced that yoga was giving me relief from it. So then it became like a pain management thing. That was the next step that happened for me. I was like, oh, all I need to do is yoga and I don't have back pain. That's
amazing.
What I learned. Mm-hmm. So on top of the spirituality thing, I was getting back pain, relief. And then, so then I moved to Kazakhstan.
Yeah, I remember you getting ready to move. And I just remember thinking, like, I think at the time I was just like, some like band groupie and like would see you at the parties and you're like, well, I'm moving to Kazakhstan. I'm like, what is she talking about?
What
like
even is that?
I'm Idaho and I've never left Idaho at that point when you were talking about that. So what led you there?
So I knew from a pretty young age, I'd say high school, that I wanted to travel a lot, but I really wanted to live overseas. Not like just traveling wasn't enough for me. So I learned from some of my friends that if I went and got my master's in counseling, then I could go and be an international school counselor. And I was like, that is my ticket. Then I can like work a job that I love and be overseas and living there at the same time. So that was my whole goal. And then I didn't end up deciding I was going to go overseas until July, and school starts in August. Mm. So all of these weird synchronicities happened that led me to Kazakhstan. That's a whole story, but like it just chose me is what happened. It chose me.
Yeah.
Because it was like the only school in the world left hiring except for one in Beijing, and I just weighed the options.
That's interesting to me, particularly because I'd never heard of international counselors. I've always heard, learn to teach English and go to other countries. That's the big one that I hear about. So were you leaning towards counseling already and then you heard about that?
Okay. Yeah. And I was at that time I was an admissions counselor at College of Idaho. So I was already counseling in a way, you know, I mean, actually they call it the other side of the desk when you're in the industry. It's like the admissions counselor and the high school counselor. They're just on the other side of the desk. If you think about it, because it's like from a senior in high school to a freshman in college, there's not that big of a gap and one hands the student off to the other.
Yes.
So I was just on the other side of the desk. So I was meeting all these high school counselors. That's how I learned about being an international school counselor, because some of them in like Nampa, Idaho, there were two counselors there that used to be overseas. And they told me about it. And every time I would go to their schools, I would like pick their brain. And I'm like, so wait, is this real? I can actually do this. And they'll like pay me really well. And they'll like pay for my housing and everything. And they're like, yes. So anyway, I did it. And then I went to Kazakhstan. And they were like, what? Everyone was like, what? That's a country? For real?
Yeah. I think that was before Borat came out. Yeah, so we didn't know.
Like, yeah, I think it was like right around the same time. I know, we didn't know yet. I didn't know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I got there and then there was this teacher that I met, or she was a yoga teacher and she was a parent of some of my students. And she was this Russian, tiny little like ballerina, perfect, but like also very, very strict woman who taught Iyengar.
Oh.
And so she agreed to come into the school and I got a group of us and we would do Iyengar 2 times a week. And it like really set my foundation for alignment. You know, Iyengar does that.
Iyengar is very strict.
Yes.
I would say. So it makes sense that she's strict and attracted to Iyengar.
Yes, totally. So that was like for 2 years, I would do Iyengar 2 times a week. And it was half in Russian, half in English.
Amazing.
And it was awesome. I mean, I really, because she whipped me into shape so much and I really learned the foundations of alignment. Like to this day when I'm teaching, I wonder how much I know about alignment because of my yoga teacher training versus how much I know from those Iyengar days.
Yes.
Like I learned a lot there.
I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yoga journey, Iyengar 2 times a week for 2 years. You're in Kazakhstan.
I'm in Kazakhstan.
As a counselor for kids?
For K through 12.
Gosh,
mm-hmm. It
so
was
cool.
Awesome. I didn't know how good I had it, you know, because it was my first job ever as a counselor and I was the only counselor there. So I really craved being a part of a team because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing though. Like this is my first time. And everyone was like, oh, it's so great. And I'm like, yeah, I think so too. But I also have no idea what else is out there. So after 2 years, I wanted to apply somewhere else that I would be able to be a part of a team so I could learn from people who have done it before.
Yeah.
And that's when I went to Indonesia, to Jakarta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was, and that's where I hit my rock bottom, where it was like such a bad fit for me. Like the city, I mean, I had never lived in a city before that wasn't surrounded by nature.
Oh,
that was hard. That was mm-hmm. so hard for me. And the job was challenging, and like all of this trauma stuff happened in the school. It was like really big for a highly sensitive person. I hit it, man. And I really turned to yoga at that time for like my life raft, actually.
Yeah.
Like I needed it so much. And so that's what inspired me to do my first yoga teacher training. After that first year, I flew to South Africa in the summer and did my first yoga teacher training there.
So you're in Jakarta, Indonesia, mm-hmm. in a city not surrounded by nature. And you're saying that the school kids who you're counseling, they had a lot of trauma and that was heavy for you to take in, mm-hmm. especially yeah. as a highly sensitive person, which yeah. I can connect with.
Totally. It was like a whole school-wide trauma thing. That's a whole story. I mean, you could Google it. It was like big news. It was a whole thing. And it's like when you're a highly sensitive person, yeah, if there's like hundreds of people around you that are having like trauma meltdowns, it's hard to not.
Was it like an incident at the school or what?
Alleged. It was an alleged incident that happened at the school. And then also like something else that happened in the news that happened simultaneously. And it brought up a lot of like past trauma for people who had been at the school for a long time. It was big.
And how many counselors were there?
There were like 5 or 6 on my team, depending on the year. The first year there were 5. The second year they had to hire another one. They flew in a bunch of counselors from Singapore just to give us relief.
Yeah.
But like they didn't know the people. I mean, people aren't going to come to a random counselor and be like, listen to all this. Like, you know, it was a nice gesture, but.
Are there any parallels from that and COVID? Because my heart really goes out to counselors and therapists at this time.
Yeah, totally.
It's really heavy.
Yeah. It's actually a really great parallel with just like widespread trauma. Like everyone is experiencing this really big earth shattering thing mm-hmm. all at the same time. And mm-hmm. it's a lot. It's a lot for everyone. And yeah, a lot for therapists for sure.
When did you make the decision that you needed a break and you needed to go focus on you and you're choosing to do a yoga training? Like, what was that moment?
Well, okay, so I went and did the yoga teacher training. And then the second year that I came back, that was when it happened for me. Because mm-hmm. they ask you to sign your, like, the commitment for the entire next year in, like, October of the year before, October or November, which is, like, oh. always felt so early to me. I'm like, I have no idea what I want to do next.
It's basically
September.
2 years. But, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I signed on because after I did my yoga teacher training, I got so inspired and I wanted to teach everyone yoga. And I was seeing this whole entire community with all this trauma, right? And I'm like, mm. I can help everyone. I must help everyone. This is my duty. You know, I took it all on. I'm like, I dub myself the head of wellness and I am going to teach everyone yoga. I was teaching like the rugby team yoga. I was teaching after school yoga for students and teachers, like separate classes.
Yeah.
And I started this class that was going to start for the next school year. So I got it approved that was going to be a mindfulness and movement class, like for credit.
Okay.
So I was going to get to teach
amazing
students all the stuff I learned. But through that basically meant that I had given myself 2 jobs. You know, I also had yeah. to be a counselor on top of all that.
Uh-huh.
So I hit burnout hard. And yeah. But I had already gotten that class approved. So I had a really big dilemma because I was like, I can't keep doing this. And I also am really excited that you approved this class, but I feel yeah. like I can't come back. And that's when I went away to Bali for like a month long, I called it like my vision quest for yeah. Christmas break. I went all by myself and just did all the things that made my soul sing, like all the
what?
Things I had always wanted to do. Okay, I went surfing for a week.
Ooh.
I did a free diving course.
Oh my gosh.
I did like a yoga and detox thing at the yoga barn for a week.
Mm.
And I hiked a peak, I hiked a mountain. I did all these things.
Just hit the microphone with your
yeah,
arm.
That's how tall the mountain was. So yeah, and then when I got done with that and I came back to my office, I just started bawling and I couldn't stop it.
Mm.
Oh my, it was like all of the truth came out and I was like,
it's not time to be here anymore.
Do it. And so then, yeah, resigned and I was like, this is okay. And then just that same day, someone walked into my office who had been out on maternity leave
mm-hmm.
and was like, I heard about your class and she wanted to teach it and it was perfect. She was the perfect person to teach it. She had my exact same credentials.
Amazing.
And I was like, oh my God, the pressure is off of me. So that's
isn't that synchronistic? Mm-hmm. Isn't that insane when things like that happen?
Yes. And the class has grown. There's more units of it now. Like it's thriving. Like all I needed to do was birth it and then go take care of myself.
Yeah. So you went to South Africa for your yoga teacher training. How did you decide where to go?
I Googled yoga teacher training July because I had like exactly 30 days I could do it, July 1st through 30th. Okay. And that was like the first one that came up. It was in Cape Town. And I was like, I've always wanted to go to Cape Town. Uh-huh. So then I just did it. And it was perfect.
What brought you back to the States?
Well, it was time. It was just time. I could feel it. You know, I had been living in Bali for like 3 years, and my grandma passed away and my relationship went south. I started having all these awakenings, like next level awakenings around like codependency. Mm. Oh man, I was in the middle of the 12 step program. Mm-hmm. It opened my eyes so much to like my actual needs and desires and taking care of myself first rather than people pleasing.
Because it sounds, I feel like there's all these different types of yoga teachers, and one of the types of yoga teachers are, I want to help people and share the gift of yoga. And I guess you could say another side of that, if you were looking at a codependent thing, you're like, I like helping people. And do I like helping people to the detriment of forgetting how to help myself? Mm-hmm. Was that something you would say you were experiencing?
Oh yeah, that is a good way to put it, Christina. Yeah, that's what was happening. So for a long time in my life, that's how like I found that I got my purpose, and it was kind of insatiable, and I wasn't spreading that to myself, except for like I knew how to do it in yoga. Mm. And in meditation. But beyond that, just like in my everyday life, I hadn't figured out the whole boundary thing.
How to translate that over.
Yeah, like everyday stuff, like how to love and care for yourself when you're not on the yoga mat. I hadn't quite figured that out.
In terms of relationships, I had a weird time. I don't know if it was weird, but I felt so focused on my partner that I didn't know exactly like, well, what do I want? What fills my cup? And I would be really reactive. I wouldn't know why I was so like grumpy and upset, and then I would kind of explode. And it took me a long time to have that time to focus on me. So God bless all those breakups I had, because it was because I needed to be alone and I needed to meet Christina and I needed to date her. And once I started dating her, I was like, oh, I made so many mistakes in the past. If only I had met myself.
Oh, that's amazing. You finally got to meet the amazing Christina.
I was like, I had a feeling I was pretty awesome, and it's true.
Now I can remember to actually ask myself what I want every day and what I need, instead of just looking to this partner to be like, wait, what do I want? What do I need?
And it makes sense. Like things I'm attracted to in partners, I'm like, okay, well, what would make me attractive? That, so I love partners who are really passionate about their thing. I'm like, okay, what am I passionate about? Because I want to be passionate about things.
So, yeah. So, that's so funny. It seems to me like you're very passionate about yoga and doing mm-hmm. fun things outside and having fun with your friends.
Yep. It's a good read. That sounds like you've been through a lot. So you went through a breakup. You're going through the 12-step program. You're just awakening is the word you used.
Mm-hmm. On another level. You know, there's like so many layers of awakening. At least there have been for me. Some people describe their awakening as like just like a one-step thing. And I'm like, damn, this is like a life journey, like layer after layer. So yeah, that was a big layer for me of awakening. And I was like, okay, it's time to go to the U.S., I just knew that I needed to go back there for many reasons. There were like a plethora. They all came together at the same time. And so I got back there and I was like, I'm going to go straight to my grandma's memorial service. And then I'm going to go straight to Burning Man. And then I'm going to figure out my life. And that's what I did.
Tell me about Burning Man.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't been in a long time, so I need to hear it.
Oh my gosh. You went before? I kind of forgot that.
I went a couple times and it was so long ago. So the first time I went, I knew I was going to go to Burning Man when a friend of mine had just come back into town, and I ran into him on the street, and his eyes were like beautiful, glowing, the way he spoke about Burning Man and his experience. And I was like, okay, I need to go, because he had such a positive experience. And I thought, well, it sounds incredible. And this was maybe 2009. So I bought a ticket the day they went on sale. And this is back when you could just buy them when they go on sale. You didn't have to apply. You didn't have to talk about your camp. I didn't know about any of that at the time. I just bought a $350 ticket when I was 19. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, I was planning on just driving by myself and loading up my cheap Mazda. I was in this car accident. I had my car totaled by a drunk driver, and my car was like almost paid off. I don't know, but I got a check for $2,000. So I just bought a $2,000 car and I drove it to Burning Man and it died the moment I was in my driveway when I came back, which is really funny. So it was about a week before and my boyfriend at the time, he's like, you're really gonna go. I was like, yeah, I'm really gonna go. And so like the day before I was gonna go, he's like, okay, I got a ticket. I'm coming with you. You're not going without me. Great. So we're halfway to Burning Man and I realized I left my ticket at home. So I was like, I'm in the car and I realize it and I'm like, oh, and Brian's like, what? And I was like, I don't want to tell you. You're going to get so mad at me. And he's like, what? Just tell me. And I was like, I forgot my ticket. And he pulls the car over and I keep hitting this microphone too, but so I pull the car over and I was like, you got to turn around. He's like, no, let's think this through. Maybe we can buy one when we get there. I'm making minimum wage at the time. Like, I'm a broke girl. Like, no, we're turning around. So we turn around, get the ticket, come back. And it was a very amazing experience. And Brian and I broke up after that. We didn't make the cut. And I feel like there's that that story of either you make it or you break it. And Burning Man's going to show you the way. So we ended as friends and it's great. And then the next time I went, I was single and ready to mingle and I had a great time and we didn't have to worry about like someone that you're there with and being like, well, I want to go here. Well, I don't want to go. And I don't want to, like, we didn't have any of that. I just was a free person and had this incredible experience to follow any group of people that I wanted to. So I had all these friends at different camps and it was really fun. But that was maybe 2012 was the last time I went.
Oh my gosh.
So a long time ago.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Wow. It must have been such a different experience back then. And I mean, every year would just be completely
there
different.
There wasn't Wi-Fi back then.
Oh my gosh. Well, when I went, there was like, they said there was Wi-Fi at that central coffee station mm-hmm. where you can like the one place you can use money to buy a coffee. Mm-hmm. But I tried to get Wi-Fi like twice and it never worked. So I kind of don't even think it's real.
Oh, okay. Because I heard there was Wi-Fi now and I'm like, it's not the same. I'm not going.
Oh yeah. I think there's also some camps that boast that they have Wi-Fi, but I really think nothing worked because there was something that I needed to do at some point what I thought I needed to do. So I was searching for Wi-Fi, but after a while it was so futile. I was like, never mind. Anyway, what was I doing? Enjoying my life? Right. Let me get back to that.
I don't know how I didn't get fired from my job because the line to get out of Burning Man was a day and a half long and there was no Wi-Fi. And I thought, because I didn't know what I was doing, I just took like a car full of stuff, went down there. I didn't realize it was going to be like that. And so I missed a day of work because I couldn't contact anyone. And it's so funny. So the second year I went, I joined a camp called Rancho Sparkle Pony. And their theme was, we wrangle unicorns. Yeah. And my first year, I was so obviously a unicorn because I didn't bring enough food. I didn't bring enough water, but like I had all the outfits and I was ready to party.
You were a true sparkle pony.
And so that year they wrangled me. I had a friend who was at that camp and we all became friends and they took such good care of me. So then the next year I joined their camp and I brought extra of everything so that I could share for all those poor unicorns out there. And they're like such a good team and I haven't seen them since then, but we kind of follow each other on social media and it's just wonderful people.
Aww. Mm-hmm. What an amazing story. I love that. Yeah. You meet such good people there in uh-huh. their best form.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, uh-huh. that was my experience anyway.
I would like ecstatic dance, yoga, juice bars, amazing DJs, artists, like so much fun.
Oh my gosh, I know. So actually, this was one of the stories that I was thinking I might tell you about my overheard at yoga. So do you want to ask me the question?
What did you overhear at yoga?
Okay. Well, let me tell you, it has to do with Burning Man.
Okay.
Well, I was there and so I had this thing in my mind for a long time, ever since I had first heard about naked yoga, that I wanted to do it. I mean, I would do it in my own living room, but I was like, it would be so empowering though. And I'm very curious as to how it would be in front of other people. Like, what would happen to me and all of my like insecurities? Like you just couldn't have any, or I don't know. I was confused what that would be like. So I thought I should just do it.
Can I just stop you for 1 second? So yeah. Before you even get to naked yoga, how did you feel with nudity, period? Like going skinny dipping or just being nude?
Oh, love it.
Okay, so naked yoga sounds like a good step.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not trying to say that I have been without my insecurities. I mean, I have like diagnosed myself with body dysmorphia many times along the way, and mm-hmm. I've had like my body image and my relationship with food and my relationship with my body has been like a total roller coaster. Dang. So I'm not trying to say that I was like immune to any of that. I
think every person has that a little
bit. Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm so not coming common. Across as like, yeah, no, nudity is totally cool. And I've never been insecure about it.
I think there's a difference though between like naked walking around your house, naked in the locker room in front of other people, naked swimming in a pool, to being naked and downward facing dog.
Oh, like, yeah.
There's your body's a little contorted and your butt's mm-hmm. up and your head's, I don't know.
Yeah, so vulnerable, most vulnerable super ever.
Heart opening postures naked. Yes. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh, right?
Okay, so I'll let you get back to it.
I was intrigued in my mind. I had been for a long time. So here I am at Burning Man and I ride my bike over to this camp where my friend was supposed to be giving some kind of workshop and I was really excited to go and support her. So I go there, but she's nowhere to be found. But this woman is there with a blonde head full of dreadlocks, this Kiwi chick. And she's like, I was like, hey, where's Chelsea's workshop? And she's like, I don't know, but I'm doing naked acro yoga. Want to join? And I was like, okay.
Okay. Acro yoga?
Naked acro yoga.
And did you bring a partner?
Or should I say naked partner yoga?
That's did you have a partner said. With
mm-mm.
you?
No. So I'm just by myself.
You partner up.
You partner up.
How fun.
And I'm the first one there, right? I'm just there for Chelsea's workshop.
You would be the first one to make it
partner. Eager. Just there. So anyway, take off all my clothes. And I'm like, so I'm just sitting here with this new friend, Kiwi dreadlock girl.
So she's nude sitting on her yoga mat no, waiting for people to
she's
arrive?
Not nude yet. She's in her clothes.
Oh, okay.
So she's like naked acro yoga. Or partner yoga. And well, something else happens. I end up finding Chelsea. That's what happens. And she goes and shows me around her camp, but her workshop got switched. And then I look over and my friends are just gone. And they're nowhere. I mean, I have no explanation for this. They're just, you know, you've been to Burning Man. Yeah, things happen. They're gone. So I'm like, guess it's time for me to go to naked yoga. So I go back out there because I had been early previously. I go back out there. There's like a group of, you know, 10 to 15 people all butt ass naked in a circle looking at each other. So I continue to take off all my clothes. And then I look at them and I'm like, what do I do if I'm on my period? And then they were like,
oh, your strings hanging out, what your cups in, or actually, your free flower.
I was in period panties. I had just discovered them. Game changer. Oh, yeah. Loving it. So I would be free flowing, you know, if I took them off. But I didn't want to feel like a cheater and have my panties on. Like, I was shy. I'm well, like, but
what
like,
day were you?
I mean, it was a heavy moment.
Oh my God, I love this.
So, so they're like, do whatever you want. Like, just follow your heart, you know? And so I was like, off with the undies.
I feel like if everyone's naked and you're not, then you feel kind of weird.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I was like, but I got to fully join the party or I'll be like forever wondering like, but if I had just let it all flow, then would mm-hmm. I have gotten more out of the experience, you know?
Yeah.
And actually that was wise of me, I think, in retrospect because of what I will share with you. So we are like, all these funny things happen. We're supposed to just stand in two lines based on our answer to a question. Oh. And then whoever we're across from, that's our partner.
Oh.
And I feel the guy next to me getting like shifty and weird and like moving over next to me. And I'm like, are you getting weird energy from your partner? Is that why you're doing this? Because you don't want your partner? And he's like, yeah, kind of. And I was like, okay, switch me. I'll be with that guy. And so he's like, thanks. So then I end up with this guy. And he's like a lot over 6 feet tall. And I'm like 5 feet tall. So that's already funny for a partner yoga.
So the eye to eye thing is not quite working out. Okay.
No. So we're on a mat and it's just already so funny. The second I get on top of his downward dog with my downward dog, it's already so funny. Like there are so many body parts just swinging everywhere. It's like so not sexy. And do you know how it is at Burning Man when like nudity becomes something that you just see all the time and it's like all body types, then it's the objectification is just like neutralized immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that, you know, for myself, I had noticed it like from the outside, from how I had felt. And I'm only on like day two of Burning Man at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But then being there and feeling my body and all of its funniness, like flopping around as I'm going to all these different positions and we're all just laughing at ourselves. I was like, this is so great because my biggest fear about naked yoga would have been that it would be like sexualized somehow and it would feel creepy and there would be some shame around it. But instead it was like completely neutralized and it was silly and we were all playing and laughing and like it was just so ridiculous.
Yes.
And we get to this point where we're going to go into some pose and I could tell that like my period was going to go everywhere if I did that pose. So I told
what pose? Malasana.
Yeah. Like on top of his back or something like that. Yeah. Something that was going to be really precarious and cover him in blood. So I was like, instead of doing that, I was like, let me just time out, gonna go get my period panties, come right back. And he's like, thanks for taking care of yourself. And the yoga teacher was like, hey, everyone, let's honor Dia for paying attention to her body, for honoring what she needs, and for being super playful about the whole thing. And I was like, me? What? It was like such a validating moment after going, like, I'm in the middle of my 12-step of codependency like process, mm-hmm. and my self-worth had been at an all-time low, mm. and to go to this point where I'm just like naked and loving it and period panting and like being openly communicating about my embarrassing needs but not feeling embarrassed,
and your yoga
about it, it was
teacher
like
just
huge.
Praises you.
Oh my god, it was amazing. You. It was amazing. And so it was lovely. Afterwards, we all go down to the Dr. Bronner's shower and have like a naked dance party for a really long time. And it was like so non-sexual, just playful. Like, you know, it was quite an earth altering moment for me that could be possible.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love what you say about nudity. Like initially people think it's going to be a sexualized thing. Mm-hmm. And I had worked as a direct care staff and a group home for adults with disabilities who needed help showering. And these adults were like men in their 50s, men and women in their 50s, and they all had their own room and their private bathroom. And in the mornings, I would help them wake up, and I would help them with their breakfast, and I would help them with their bathing. And so I got used to seeing like naked men in their 50s. And I worked there for 5 years. And I was working there when I went to Burning Man. And when I went to Burning Man, like I didn't even notice the nudity. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, is that David or whoever the name was? And I'd be like, oh, that just reminds me of somebody that I know from work.
It was just a 50-year-old
naked
guy.
It's the same outfit. And I'm like, oh. there's a show on Netflix called Worn. Have you seen it?
No.
So first episode's amazing. And they talk about articles of clothing that have meaning and sentiment to us. And they show on the screen like a pair of Crocs and a pair of some other kind of sandal. What's the sandal called that everybody has?
Birkenstocks?
The other ones for like outdoorsy people.
Chacos.
God, you're good. So a pair of Chacos and a pair of these Crocs. And so then you want to meet the people who love these items. And these belong to a pair of nudists. And these are the only clothing that they choose to wear, are shoes, because they live in Florida and there's a lot of bugs out there. So they need their shoes. But they talk about their experience of turning to a nudist lifestyle. So they were originally dairy farmers in Minnesota where it's really cold, and they retired at a nudist community. And and I love the way they share their story in such a positive way.
Mm.
And the wife and husband like have the same haircut, and she talks about how it would be really upsetting trying to dress for her body type. And it was so freeing to move to this community where everyone is just so loving and it feels like family.
That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And her mom was like, everyone's going to be having sex everywhere. You can't move there. And she said her mom came to visit and was like, wow, I'm glad I came to visit. It's not what I expected.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's what I found out after the naked yoga class was a bunch of people that were in the class with me. They also lived in naturalist communities. And so they were telling me all about it. And I was like, oh, this changes my perspective so much about what it would be like. Because now I got like a tiny glimpse of it, you know, what yoga might look like there.
I'm going to have to give that a go sometime.
I know. I've always wanted to offer a class, like when the moment's right. I've thought a lot about it. Like, how could I make that? So how could I create a space where people felt safe that I could offer nude yoga, like here in Boise somewhere? Like, obviously, you'd have to do a lot of screening beforehand, but I think it'd be really powerful.
How do you screen for that?
I mean, just like maybe
sign a waiver.
Maybe you should know the people before they come in. Like, just get a vibe. Like, you're not letting any creepers in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Meet at the park at 4, first come, first serve.
Yeah, at the park. Such privacy.
Oh my gosh. I wish we had more time to talk forever. I have so much more that I would love to talk to you about. And before you go, are you moving to Egypt or are you just having your honeymoon in Egypt?
Not moving there that I know of, but that's what I said last time I went there too. And then 4 months later, so you never know with me really, but I'm going there.
Because you are a mythical creature. So I don't know where the wind's going to take you next, but I hope you have a wonderful honeymoon in Egypt. And if you are back in Boise and don't get flown away somewhere, I'd love to have you back.
Oh, that would be so amazing. Mm. And I have some really fun news that is just like hot off the press that I haven't told anyone about yet. You want the inside scoop? So you know how I was going to do that Rewild Your Soul retreat back in April, but then it's been postponed due to COVID.
Oh.
So It's back on the books in September on a full moon. And ooh. Yeah.
So what, when's the full moon in September?
17th through 19th.
Oh, my birthday's the 19th.
Oh my gosh, really? Maybe yes. Do you have birthday plans yet?
I don't know. My boyfriend's birthday is on the 14th and mine's on the 19th. And we were thinking about doing a camping weekend in between our birthdays because mine's during the week, I think. And his is during the week. So the weekend in between, we'd have like a camping party.
Oh, great idea.
So
I love it.
So tell me more. What's it called?
Rewild Your Soul.
And what days?
September 17th through 19th.
Is that, what day of the week is that?
I think it's a Friday through Sunday, unless I got that wrong.
Is my birthday on a Sunday?
I think so.
Okay, cool. And how can we find you?
So you can find me on Instagram or my website. Instagram is dia.soul.therapist, S-O-U-L. Mm-hmm. And that's my website too, diasoultherapist.com.
I just got your email today about having a really good nighttime routine.
Oh.
Loved it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear it.
And can people sign up for your emails on your website?
Yes, they can. Okay. And they get a free meditation of me doing a meditation with Rob Ricardo when they sign up.
From Rob Ricardo, the yes. guitar player.
I know you love him,
oh my
right?
God, I love him.
I love him too.
Okay.
I know.
I should check that out.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I'm sure you probably have it in your files somewhere because you're on my email list.
Yeah, I do. Okay, I'm going to go look at that.
Oh, and I'm on Insight Timer if anyone wants to meditate with me.
I think I downloaded that and I was confused on how to use that.
Oh, the app?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, okay, Insight Timer is an app. You download it. If you look me up, I'm Dia Michelle on there. Mm-hmm. And then you can find all my meditations and I do live events too.
Because I thought I could only get in on the live ones and once it's done, it's done. Is that true?
That's true with the lives. But then I have meditations that are already published up there and you can hit play anytime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now I know. Because yeah. I missed one of your lives. I was off by like a day or something. And I was like, dang
oh, yeah.
it.
Oh yeah. You can uh-huh. go in and meditate with me anytime. And I have another meditation with me and Rob on there too called Settling In. So you can see and check it out. So my name's Dia Michelle on Insight Timer. So you can come and follow me and join me for meditating. And I just share like all my favorite soul therapy techniques with people.
Yay.
So,
and we'll have all this information in the show notes too. So if okay. people are trying to like write this down, don't worry. Just go to the show notes.
Oh yeah. Because we're official like that.
We're official. Okay, I have to go teach a class, so we got to get out of here.
Okay.
I'm running late for work.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!